verse 1 through 4 tonight. So go ahead and take out your Bibles with me and turn there. I was going to do verses 1 through 11 as Brother Alton just read for us a moment ago. But there's just so much spiritual truth and richness packed into these verses. So we're going to look closely at verses 1 through 4 tonight, and then, Lord willing, sometime in the future, we will finish up the rest of the passage. Psalm 133, as you're turning to Philippians chapter 2, Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, "Let brotherly love continue." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter writes and says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart." The Bible clearly teaches, and this is my main point tonight, the Bible clearly teaches that like-mindedness, being of the same mind, as we'll see here in a moment in Philippians chapter 2, is the culmination of Christian joy, which is the essence of the book of Philippians. It's the icing on the cake of the gospel, and it's intended by God for all of us to pursue. This like-mindedness, this being of one mind in unity together. What we're going to see tonight in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, in this passage, Paul, he is exhorting the church at Philippi, the Christians there, and us, not just them, but us today, to be of the same mind. Because this like-mindedness, he says, is the completion, the culmination of Christian joy. He tells us what it means to be of the same mind and how we maintain long-term like-mindedness in our Christian relationships with one another. So that is what we are going to be diving into tonight. We're going to talk about being of the same mind. So look with me, if you will, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. Let's read the first two verses, and we're going to come back to verse 2 here in a moment. But first of all, let's read the first two verses. "So," Paul says, "if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy," he says, "by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." So in this passage, Paul here, he's not questioning, which we might naturally think. He's not questioning whether the believers have these things, have these gifts. He's not questioning the believers and saying, "Do you have encouragement in Christ? Do you have comfort from His love? Do you have fellowship with the Spirit? Do you have compassion and sympathy?" Rather, what he's doing, he's using a rhetorical expression to say that since the believers do, in fact, have these things, encouragement from Christ, comfort from Christ, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and continued affection and compassion and sympathy from Jesus, since they do have these things, then they should be equipped to live with this sweet like-mindedness, this being of the same mind he talks about with each other. So before we jump into that idea, let's first briefly look at these gifts that Paul says the Christian has through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here are four gospel gifts. Gifts that Jesus Christ gives to the one that submits to Him. First of all, a submission to the gospel, a gift that it brings, is that it allows us to taste true encouragement. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, as is quoted all throughout the Torah, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, it says, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. It says, He will never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. Do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged. The Hebrew writer quotes this passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 through 6, and says, Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What peace, what tranquility and peace and comfort that this passage gives to us, that these words are in a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says, I can know assuredly that I am never, never alone, and that He is always mediating and interceding on my behalf. He provides all the grace that I need for my failings, for my weaknesses, and will be with me until the end. What encouragement! What encouragement! That, brothers and sisters, is true gospel encouragement. A promise from God that says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's a gift. That's a gift that you have through the gospel of Jesus Christ. True encouragement. Secondly, another gift that we have through Jesus is that He pours out enormous loving comfort into our despairs. Even in times of heartache and suffering and trials, does He give us this loving comfort continuously? One of my favorite passages in Scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Paul says this in that passage, So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. If that doesn't bring you comfort, knowing the truth of that, embracing that as reality, if that doesn't bring you true comfort and peace, I don't know what will, knowing that this life, in my circumstances, in my sufferings, in my trials and afflictions, are temporary. They're temporary and they're light. They're light in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that I have to look forward to. And I can get a taste, even today, of that eternal glory, that Sabbath rest, as I keep in step with the Spirit and walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. I can know this supernatural joy that comes with the relationship in Jesus Christ every single day. What comfort that is. Amen? Amen. There we go. that just fills my heart with comfort, and it's intended to. Jesus gives, through the gospel, a gift of loving comfort. Not only does He give comfort, this text says that we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He initiates sweet fellowship with the Spirit upon a submission to the gospel of grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it says, The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you, brothers. All of those in Christ Jesus, as we have talked about before in this series, have koinonia. They have fellowship with the Spirit of God. We have been grafted in to God's family tree and have become His heirs and have become His children. He says again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Those who have been convicted by the message of Jesus, have put their trust in Him, have repented of their sins and confessed faith in Him, and have been immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, and are walking in the light as He is in the light, have God's guarantee of salvation sealed within their hearts. The Holy Spirit of God is the foundation of my blessed assurance and provides me with sweet fellowship that is found within God. What a gift that we have through the gospel of peace. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, a last gift that Paul records in Philippians chapter 2 is that we have continued affection, continued sympathy, and continued compassion from our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the Greek word behind affection in Philippians chapter 2, it's translated in the ESV as affection. If you're using another translation, it may render it differently. We talked about this morning, that we talked about the same concept this morning in our class, but this Greek word affection is splanchnon, and it literally means one's inward parts. And if you read this, when you see this word throughout the New Testament, it's often translated as compassion, especially in the Gospel of Matthew. And the word picture that it provides is just astounding. It's astoundingly awesome. Just as one can feel their insides, just as one can feel their inward parts moving, compassion is an action that originates on the inside of a person with a feeling of empathy for another person, and that feeling moves them to act on the behalf of the other person and for their benefit. This exactly describes how Jesus relates to His people. When He sees our condition, when He sees our need, the need of His true repentant children, He's moved. He's moved with compassion, and that prompts Him to act on our behalf and give us benefit and blessing. And that didn't just end at the cross. You have God's continued compassion, continued affection, and continued sympathy as you journey through this Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 through 16, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So those are four beautiful gifts that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings to the one that submits to it. And Paul's line of reasoning here, as we look in Philippians chapter 2, Paul's line of reasoning is that since the believers have been showered with blessings from the gospel, all of these things that we've talked about, they should be well equipped and have ample motivation to be of the same mind, to have this like-mindedness. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be of the same mind? What does it mean to embrace like-mindedness with my brothers and sisters in Jesus? That's the question that we're going to pursue before we do that, let's talk about two points of what that does not mean. What it does not mean to be of the same mind. It does not mean agreeing with each other on everything. The church, when we study the church in the Bible, the church of our Lord, it's a single organism. It's a single organism as portrayed within Scripture, but it is a collective organism made up of individual minds. And those minds, they don't all work the same. They think differently. They come to conclusions differently. They have different personalities. They come from different backgrounds and have dissimilar systems of reasoning. We have different thought processes. And this absolutely, this clash of personalities and different ways of thinking, this obviously creates the perfect storm for disagreement. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 1, Paul combats this potential problem, and he says this: "As for the weak one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." By the very fact that Paul says don't quarrel over opinions, there are inevitably going to be various opinions that people have. But those opinions are just that. There are opinions. If it's not "thus saith the Lord," opinions are not worth disrupting unity over. Now, being of the same mind, as we've seen, it doesn't mean agreeing with each other on everything. Now, likewise, at the same time, being of the same mind also does not mean compromising foundational tenets of doctrine for the sake of unity. For an example, there are many groups today that try to diminish Christian groups that call themselves Christian, that try to diminish the deity of Jesus Christ, that say things like he was created by the Father, he's a demigod, he's a lesser quality being than Yahweh God, than the Father. That's not what Scripture teaches. That is a foundational doctrine of Scripture, the deity of Jesus Christ. We see in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, "In the beginning was the Word." We know the Word is Jesus. "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." The full deity of Jesus Christ is a gospel truth that cannot be compromised. I cannot have true fellowship with one that claims my Lord Jesus is not fully God. He is divine. He is Lord. He is the Prince of Peace. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is God. Likewise, many other groups tried to diminish the humanity of Jesus Christ, saying things like he wasn't truly human. And we know that that's not true because Scripture says that that's not true. In John chapter 1, verse 14, likewise it says, "And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 through 3, John writes and says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." The full humanity also, likewise, of Jesus is a major doctrinal tenet. I cannot have fellowship with someone who protests that Jesus is not fully human. So, when we try to understand what being of the same mind means, what it is, it does not mean compromising foundational doctrine and salvation issues for the sake of unity, because if you do so, it's not true unity. And many people try to do that today, compromising things that are of the essence, are imperative, like the deity of Jesus Christ, just for the sake of unity. That's not real unity. That's fabricated unity, and it's not pleasing to God. Now, what does being of the same mind mean? Paul tells us. He tells us exactly what that means within the text. Look down with me at Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. We read it a moment ago, but we're going to read it again. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says, Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Now, here's what it means. Paul's just told us. He's just told us what it means to be of the same mind. Number one, as you see on your screen, being of the same mind means having the same love for one another, maintaining the same love for each other. And I read from the New American Standard. Your translation may say something different, but the New American Standard says, maintain the same love with one another. The kind of agape love that God shows his people. We know as Christians, while living under the same roof, while living in the same house, people sometimes tend to have disagreements and arguments and even fights, and sometimes it's the same way in the church. All of us, we see each other all the time, and that's great. That's a good and beautiful and wonderful thing, but sometimes personalities clash because we're with each other so often, and our personalities are different, and sometimes that comes to a head, and our disagreements result in disputes. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. He says this in verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So like-mindedness, being of the same mind, is a recognition that our personalities are different, and that we are not always going to agree on every point. And at the same time, being of the same mind, having this like-mindedness, is a willingness during those times of disagreements where personalities clash with one another. It's a willingness to bear with each other, forgiving one another, and preserving unity, even if I don't feel like it in the moment. So being of the same mind is having this love, a love that originates from God, that is seen through Jesus for each and every person, even when we have disagreements, even when our personalities clash, and even when we have disputes. That's what it means to be of the same mind, a commitment to love each other, even when I don't feel like it. Now, at the same time, something very similar that Paul says, what it means to be of the same mind, it also means being one in spirit, as the New American Standard renders it. Now, when he says be one in spirit, this isn't a reference to the Holy Spirit. Rather, it is a reference to the spiritual connection that we have together as believers in Jesus Christ. And all believers in Jesus have, when we think about it, they have a relationship with each other, kind of, sort of, like a marriage relationship. We rejoice when our brothers and sisters rejoice. We weep with each other when others weep. We are patient with one another when we're hard to get along with sometimes. We say to one another things like, I know your weaknesses and I know your failings, but I'm going to treat you the same way that Jesus treats his people, with love, with compassion, and with grace. How beautiful it is when Christians are one in spirit, when they maintain the spiritual connection as illustrated in marriage, and we bear with one another, and we are patient with each other, and we forgive one another, and we weep with those who weep, and rejoice with those of our brothers and sisters who rejoice. But at the same time, how ugly it is when we willingly disconnect ourselves from one another and do the opposite of these things. I'm sure everybody in here has heard of a congregation or seen or witnessed maybe a church split. In my experience, I have witnessed and heard of a few church splits where a congregation has some kind of disagreement and they part their ways. But I'm sure other people can say different things depending on whatever their experience is. But just based upon my experience, I have never seen a church split that was because of a legitimate doctrinal issue. Every church split that I have personally seen and heard of from my friends that are preachers and from other people are not because of legitimate doctrinal issues, but rather because of personality issues. And the people, sadly, when this happens, the people that it hurts the most are our young people. Many times the young people, when this happens, and I have witnessed this personally, many times they end up leaving the faith altogether, or embracing some kind of radical form of liberalism, saying, I don't want to have any part of that brand of Christianity that I witnessed growing up. So we need, brothers and sisters, to be very careful when we cause disputes among each other and disrupt gospel-pure unity over something that, in the grand scheme of things, does not matter. With the authority of Jesus Christ, I say woe to you. Woe to you who are not one in spirit with your brothers and sisters in Jesus and willingly disrupt sweet unity that the gospel brings. We need to be aware of that and mindful of it. So lastly tonight, what being of the same mind means, it means being intent on the same purpose. That's the way the New American Standard renders it. It says, be intent on the same purpose. Have the same goal. Have the same aim in mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is our aim. That is our purpose, to live our lives for the glory and adoration of God, to make Jesus Christ look like He really is to the world, to magnify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ so that all people may see Him as worthy, more worthy and more significant than anything that this world has to offer. That's our goal. That's our mission, to honor, to magnify, and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And when every single one of us have that aim as the core of who we are, and we are intent on that purpose, then we are being of the same mind. We are embracing this like-mindedness that Paul talks about. So let's all of us strive for this aim and this purpose, the glorification of Jesus Christ to a world that is lost and dying and needs Him so very desperately. So, lastly, as we wrap up, I'm just going to spend just very briefly on this. Paul mentions in verse 3 through 4 how we maintain this like-mindedness with brothers and sisters in Jesus. Because I mentioned before, all of us, we're with each other all the time. Most of us are here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we have all these kind of church activities. And it's difficult sometimes to maintain this like-mindedness. And Paul helps us with this. Paul helps us to maintain this spirit of unity, of like-mindedness. And this is what he says in verses 3 through 4 of Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We all disagree at times. There will be problems that arise in the church, but we will be able to get through it all if we live according to these principles that we see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Paul says, do nothing from selfishness, from selfish ambition. He says, don't live with this empty conceit. That's living with excessive pride, as we've talked about many times. This excessive pride in ourselves, because it's empty. It's hollow. It living a life that exalts me and myself and belittles those all around me. There's nothing that good that will come from that. Nothing lasting and nothing secure, nothing pleasurable in the end that will come from empty conceit. So put yourself away, your selfish needs, your selfish desires, and look to the needs of others. That's what he says lastly. He says, but embrace this humble spirit by regarding each other as more significant than yourselves. Look to the needs of other people more so than yourself. If you want to maintain this beautiful like-mindedness, this culmination of the joy that the gospel brings, this unity, if you want that to be maintained in your life and how you treat other people, that's the key. That's how you do it. Humility, a humble spirit that regards each other as more significant than you regard yourself. That's how we maintain our like-mindedness, which looks so attractive when we do so according to Scripture, to the outside world, to the lost. And when we live with the same mind, which is the very mind of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to talk about next time, then Christian joy is complete, and it comes to its amazing culmination with us. It's the icing on the cake of the gospel. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, complete my joy by being of the same mind. So let's all of us commit to being of one mind and embracing the spirit of like-mindedness together, which reflects, it's a reflection of the mind of Jesus Christ. If you have any need tonight, if you are hurting in any way and we can pray for you or bear your burdens, or if you know that you're lost and you know that you need Jesus Christ, come forward tonight, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Come forward tonight if you have any need as we stand and as we sing.